The artist's brain is an independent variable. When brought into the everyday world, their senses find meaning in even the most mundane observations. The reaction must only be told by the artists themselves. I'm Loverboy, and this is an experiment.
Connor, we are back, baby.
We're back.
We're here.
All the way.
All the way. What's going on with you?
Man, yeah, traveling too much, making too much music, making too many TikToks.
Yeah.
That's my life.
Have you found that, like, a way to make the TikToks feel like path of least friction? Like, are you making, like, 10 at once?
I need to do that, but I don't. I feel like what the best people or like the most successful social media people do, like batch thing.
Yeah,
they do a day where they do everything, but I've just like never really been able to do that. I don't know what it has
Me
to
too.
Just yeah, it's really hard. I just force myself to do it every day, which is worse ultimately on me, but I've recently started to get a little more into like, okay, I'm going to try to do a bunch today and then figure it out.
I mean, I feel like people who are doing like 10 a day, though, I don't know how you have the ideas to do 10 a day and to still feel inspired by the third one, let alone the 10th.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like shooting from the hip, seeing what happens. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's like you have to, I feel like that's almost a better way to get to the good stuff, just like, I mean, the maximalist approach of like song a days or whatever, like anything like that, is because then you're not thinking about it.
Yeah.
And that's definitely going to lead to a lot of like mid. But that also means that you're going to accidentally like stumble upon like really good,
a good idea
shit sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess when you're also like, if you're doing a bunch at once, you kind of get into that flow state.
Yeah.
A little bit. But I don't know. If it's for TikTok or something like that, I can go make 5 beats in a day.
Yeah.
And feel pretty comfortable with it.
Oh, yeah.
But if I have a camera on, I seem to shut off after the first or second video.
Yeah. It depends on what you... It's almost like all of it is momentum. Like your social media, I look at as momentum as well. Is what have you, everything that you've already done is context for what you're doing now, for better or worse, where like people's concept of what you do and also just your idea or your palette of ideas is like building upon what you've already done. Like I have the Steal This Idea series. I know that I can do that at any point where
yeah.
I don't, like if I can't think of a new video concept, I know that I should continue doing the one that worked because
yeah.
Not even in a cynical way. It's like,
it's a good feeling.
I enjoy making those videos.
Yeah.
So I might as well just do them still.
And I guess the nice thing about having, and I guess maybe that is the path of least friction. You found a way to make the videos something that could inspire your art anyways, or do inspire your art. And like you were saying, I mean, so much of the music that you've put out in the past, which is just tons of music, is either inspired or uses some of the audio from your Steal These Ideas.
Yeah. I feel like we had pieces of a similar conversation the first time, but
yeah.
But now I feel like after almost a year since we've chatted, I feel like I'm even more so in the feeling of like I have to just do whatever feels good.
Yeah.
And like when things aren't like super popping off, like that's completely outside of me. That's outside of my control. Like the thing that I can do is make a video. Like I know that I can make a video. I don't know if it's gonna like do well or anybody will care. But I do know that I can make another video. And I think after last year being so overwhelming with the amount of, it was like back to back, like a lot of, it was amazing. I like had a lot of like viral moment, whatever
totally.
Things, and it changed my life. It's great. But you also get the other side of that is like that goes away. Like the TikTok does not give a shit about you.
Yeah.
So, and you have to, like, I I remember a moment where I was like, okay, like this is a bit much. Like I'm going to like chill out a little bit. I'm not going to post as much. And that was, I've had a few like big things since then, since that moment. But that was as soon as like mentally I was like, maybe I should chill out a little bit. That was when it was immediately like, okay, the engagement was way down.
Interesting.
Which is weird. It's like, it's almost like a spiritual thing. Like,
yeah.
It's almost like the, I sometimes get a little bit superstitious about like, if I believe that something is going to go viral, that's not going to, like, if it, you know what I mean? Like, so you, I have to like, not think about it.
It has to be something that like is so under your radar.
Yeah.
That it feel, it's just like, it just kind of happens. It has to be like ridiculously natural.
Yeah. And even, well, and even with music too, I almost feel like the songs that I make that I think are like, this is the fucking one, those are not the ones.
Yeah.
Like most of the time, they're not the ones. They're the ones, the real ones that are like really gonna catch people and resonate are the ones that you least expected and you just like randomly did. Like my song Mercury, I literally thought was trash when I made it. Like it was in the song a day process. I think it was day 176 and made the song like in a rush before like having to go pick up a birthday cake for my friend. Like I had like 45 minutes to make the song.
Yeah. God.
Like beat, lyrics, like everything. Like 45 minutes, I'm stressing. And I was like, this is trash, but I'm doing a song a day. I got to post this. And then I just post it. And then all of a sudden, that is now the song that like most people resonate with when they associate my music. Yeah.
That's so interesting. It's almost like the opposite of how a lot of people are now. Like, I feel like that really suits the old school version of making music where it's like, we booked you studio time. You have this amount of time. Fucking use it. And it's like that pressure makes a diamond sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I think people got so used to the idea of just having as much time to redo and edit that you kind of lose that spark, that magic. Nothing feels as real. And maybe that's part of it too. Maybe Mercury was just like, it's just like one of those moments where you're like, I just need your help, universe, whatever the fuck it is. And it just like, here you go. Use it now or it's gone.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, surrendering to the process. And I think what comes through on or in any song that people really like is you can feel that this person is, or like, who was it that said like you can hear a smile through the song, like in a song, like,
oh, I know the line.
But you can hear, like in my song Mercury, as an example, like you can hear the feeling of me being like, fuck it. Like, this is what I felt like doing. Like, you can feel that energy.
Yeah.
You can feel that it's not forced. Whether you like the song or not, it's that energy is in there. And I think that's part of why I thought it was trash, is because I was just like, fuck it. But that's apparently what people connected with.
Well, I think that's where practice and preparation actually show itself.
Yeah.
It's like, I had somebody on recently that were saying the job of an artist is not to make music, it's to find inspiration and let that flow through them.
Yeah.
And I think that's, it's pretty accurate, because I feel like when you're sitting there and you're sitting behind your pen or whatever, you're trying to write, you're like, God, I just really, I need to think about this idea more. I need to be more honest. People aren't going to like, if you have time to judge yourself, people are going to have time to judge you too.
Yes.
And if you kind of just understand that you're really good at what you do and you just do that and understand that you put in the work, you put in the preparation, you've made so many fucking songs and so many beats and so many loops. Clearly, you know what the fuck you're doing. Like, you know that you can go in a room and make something, whether it's your favorite thing, doesn't matter. There's still a million people who are watching that are like, how the fuck did he do this? And it's like hard work and hours that most people could never comprehend.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's that's being an artist. That's being a creative for sure. I think that I am always in like a state of flux in the creative process of in that same way of like I am still overthinking even after going through all of these experiences that prove that I shouldn't overthink. I'm still over like everything, every little detail. I'm still worried about it. Yeah. And I'm still like, it's crazy to me because I think back to like, or even like, even in terms of social media stuff, like I think back to times when I had whatever, 1,000 followers, whatever.
Yeah.
Like not a lot. And my shit's getting a couple hundred views. Like the idea of being somebody who had like 100,000 followers was like unfathomable. It was like, oh my God, like I would feel like I made it. And I have 100,000 followers now, and I'm like, I'm not even doing anything. Like I feel like I didn't do anything. Yeah. It feels like and I know that's not true. Like I'm very proud of what I've done, but the once you reach one of those goals, it's like, okay, like on to the next thing. Like it's, you immediately get used to it.
Well, you've got to kind of be like a few feet away from the situation to feel like you've seen growth almost. Like,
yeah,
it's like having like a sibling who you're with every day for 5 years and they grew a foot, but you just don't see it. Like you're just like, yeah, I guess they grew, but I was here the whole time. You go to college, come back 3 years later and they're a foot bigger and you're like, holy fuck.
That's a really good comparison. Yeah. Cause you're just, yeah, you're in it. You don't realize it. Or like, I think a lot of it is similar to like getting a present when you're a kid or something. Mm-hmm. You get a really good birthday present and you're like so hype about it, and then now that's just like a thing you have.
Yeah.
And then you're used to it and it's not that exciting anymore.
I just went through my parents' garage with them because they just moved and I was back at home in Detroit and we're going through shit and I'm like, I would have given everything I had to get this present growing up. And now it's been sitting in a box for 20 years and I haven't thought about it until now, a fucking tech deck or something.
Yeah.
And it's just, retrospect is the killer of all bullshit. You really have to be far enough away that you almost miss that feeling.
Yeah.
To understand how important it is.
Yeah.
But also, I think that's also that's how you keep consistent. If you're living in that, everybody I've met on this podcast who is in a perpetual state of growth is also in a mind fuck, a downfall where everything feels like they're losing it and they don't know if they can do the next thing and everything's gonna be taken away. And it's like, you have it right now. But that's how you make this sustainable. Everybody who gets too cocky while they're in it, it just doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's totally the ego. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's just really hard to, it's hard to silence that, but that is the, like, being able to fight through that is what being an artist is.
Totally.
Because every time you sit down to make something, that voice is going to be there.
Yeah. And I think it's also a weird industry because there's not a lot of people who have done what you've done as far as the sheer numbers at a certain quality as well. Like, it's not like you were putting stuff out that dropped below your threshold.
Hmm.
Like, you understood that what you were putting out was still, the reason it was impressive isn't because you were putting out a lot. It was because you were putting out a lot of talent, a lot of really good, you know, beats and music and steal this and all this material. And I get it. I've done so many of these podcasts and every time I sit down, I'm like, am I going to fuck this up? And I'm like, I fucked up fucking hundreds of them before and they were okay. It was fine. Like that's the human part of it. But there's still, I don't think there's ever going to be a day, I could be 1,000 in, where I sit down and go, and I don't take that breath going, you got this.
Like, yeah.
Don't fuck this up. Every time, people still come back.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think I might've even said this in the first podcast we did, is it's not even really about being good. You want to be good for yourself, you want to make the best thing you can, but to be a professional artist or whatever, creator of any kind, is mostly just having the balls to be that, to create things and be willing to be judged, and you just roll with it. And that's just the reality. Like I feel like I need to personally, I need to like stop myself from just constantly being like, oh, like nothing's working, and like, ah, I got new stuff coming out, but oh, no one's gonna care about like all this stuff. But that is just completely, it's pointless. It's pointless.
Yeah. Well, I think it's put there for a reason. I don't think you make beautiful art when you're comfortable. Yeah. I can't speak for everybody and I can't speak for all the time, but I think most of the times when the most beautiful stuff are made is when you're, you know, like every band you hear that makes it is like, God, I wish we were back in that fucking 900 degree garage with XLRs that don't work. And
yeah.
And it's just like, that's some of the best music all time is when people were like, it was fight or flight. It was a necessity differently than it is now. But I think that's why that feeling is just embedded in us, is it's to keep you aware, keep you going. Cause if you have everything you need, then the thing you really need is life to kind of kick your ass a little bit to come back. And it's just like a weird, vicious cycle.
Yeah. Fight or flight is a good way to describe it. And I think that is, yeah, the pressure is something that musicians or artists in general should feel. Mm. Putting your feet to the fire, I think, in general, is a good thing.
Yeah.
And I was just, actually, I just responded to a TikTok comment today of somebody basically being like, yeah, like, if that's your goal to like do a song every day, like that's your goal. But like, if you actually want to say something and like make art, like you don't make a song every day. I'm like, what do you do you think like successful musicians are just like sitting around waiting for something to like hit them? It's like, they're showing up and making a bunch of like trash. Yeah. And then the one out of 100 or whatever ideas that becomes like an incredible song or whatever. Hit. Yeah. Like I think there's this misconception that the people that we look up to are just like, every single time they put pen to paper, it's like the best thing ever. Yeah. Like that's not true at all. Like even, and I used to think that way. I still think that way about some people. I'm like, but it's like so hard for me to believe like somebody making some of my idols like making something bad.
Yeah.
But everyone is making garbage.
Yes.
Garbage.
Like, Pharrell has some shitty tracks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, but the reason Pharrell as an example, the reason he is able to get to the great things is because he didn't stop. He didn't stop. And he was willing to make another thing after the bad thing.
Yes. Yeah, and I think if people are a little self-righteous as well, because they're happy to tell you to go practice and go shed your instrument and you better be practicing all the time, but then you happen to record your practice.
Yeah.
You happen to record.
Right.
Then it's no longer worth something to them, which is the craziest thing, because all you're doing is proving more that you are willing to put in the work to become better and better and better. And it's for you.
Yeah.
The content for them, the practice for you. And the reason you have songs like Mercury is because you put in those hours, you put in that practice, and you happen to tape it. And guess what? It worked.
Yeah.
It fucking worked. So that kid on TikTok is sitting there writing comments on your shit while you're getting better.
Yeah.
It's like, who's going to win there? It's not, you're not spending your time fucking going on people's TikToks and trashing them. Cause you don't get better like that.
Yeah. I mean, I do trash talk sometimes, but not in that way.
Trash talk a bit, but, yeah. But if your whole day, if you're spending the time that you should be practicing in whatever venture that looks like, whatever vertical, if that's filming it and putting it on TikTok, that you're at least giving something to the world.
Yes.
Talking shit all the time. Right. Don't get me wrong.
You need to have skin in the game.
Yes.
If you're going to, you got to be able to,
I love answering comments. Don't get me wrong. I fucking love it. I have a blast. I don't take myself too seriously. I don't think you can get away with life by taking yourself too seriously.
Right.
But there's a balance of all that. And people can say what they want. They can say you shouldn't be answering back on the messages. And it's like, but look what I've done.
Yeah.
I've put in the work, and I'm still putting in the work.
Yeah.
I found the success that as a child I would have said was the life goal. And I'm still putting in the same amount of effort that I was back then. It's just, I don't know. I think the proof is in the pudding. It's just people like to, those people are necessary. They keep that fire under your ass.
Totally. Yeah. That is once again what separates the people who are actually going to reach their dreams, and the people who are just going to just sit around and be mad that they, you know, that they haven't reached their whatever goals they have, is because they're sitting being salty. And I don't mean on some like bootstraps shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just mean a lot. There are so many people who don't allow themselves to be vulnerable enough to create what they want.
Well, and they're also not willing to put in the effort. Like, how many people do you hear? They're like, I haven't made it. And then you're like, have you hit up 100 people today? Have you made 5 songs? Like, what have you done today to prove to yourself that you even deserve it? And that's I think a big part of this industry. It's like the first 50 things, the first 200 things might not work, but it's the person who does the 250, you know, that finds the success. It's the people that aren't too proud to put out shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather prove that I'm good at what I'm doing by putting out something better.
Yeah.
Than not putting out the thing before. It's why I don't ever cut anything that I say out of this podcast. Never. Because I'd rather, if I say something I don't agree with and I think it's a shitty thing to say, I'd rather people see who I am and then reverse and talk myself out of it and let people know that I changed my mind or that I learned something new versus acting like I've always been in the right or that I always knew the right answer or was in the right mind. I don't know. I just think it's bullshit. People need the opportunity to start over every single time.
Yeah.
And I think that's just part of this. It's like, I don't know. I think it's sick.
And I think that's part of why, I mean, once again, it always goes back to the song day thing, but the difference between making something and showing it to people is there's a huge difference. Like,
oh yeah.
I'm 30 years old. I got gray hair. Like, I've been making shit for a really long time. Like I have always been a person who makes a fuck ton of music, but I was always terrified to share like 90% of it. So once I transitioned into being like, I'm going to show basically everything.
Yeah.
That was when it changed, because the intention behind it is totally different, but also the experience of the art you create is different because you're now hearing it like through the ears of the audience after it's been released. And if I were in the same mindset that I had back then I never would have posted the Mercury song that is my biggest song now. Like, that fear would have just shut me down, and I wouldn't have even gotten to make the Mercury song.
Yeah.
So
steps to the ladder.
Yeah, exactly. And what I tell a lot of, so when I produce for artists or whatever, the releasing music is really hard. But you have to, just like everything else, all of the parts of your craft that you have to practice, you have to practice releasing music as an art as well.
Yeah.
Like, that is a thing that is a discipline and a technique as well. Like, totally. Something that you have to hone.
Yeah, it's like, I can kick a soccer ball really well, but can I aim for the goal?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's... there's so many different parts that you have to master. And part of that is not even getting rid of the fear. It's learning how to just...
From the same people who brought back your balls and made your bush bearable brings you the Beard Hedger. There's one thing about travel that I hate more than anything in the world, and that is bringing 20 different little clip guards just to get the right shave. Not anymore. Manscaped has your back. The Beard Hedger has 20 built-in clipping links, so you do not have to worry about losing them anymore. Not only that, but this thing is waterproof. It's cordless, and it has a long-lasting battery, so you don't have to worry about this thing shutting off halfway through and looking like a dork for the rest of your day. Fellas, do me a favor. Stop going to your dates with clean, smooth balls and a gross-looking face. You need them to match. you want to support me in this podcast, the best thing that you can do is support the sponsors. They help me keep going and make this something that I can continue to do. So do me a favor. Head to manscaped.com. Use the code EXPERIMENT and get 20% off and free shipping. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code EXPERIMENT at manscaped.com. Go get your beard hedger with 20 different clip lengths.
Fucking step over it for a minute and at least pretend like you're not nervous to do it. I don't know anybody who isn't nervous to release their music, even people that every song does well. I guarantee Drake is fucking terrified every time.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's there as like a natural instinct to keep you in the game.
Mm-hmm.
If you get too excited after you score a goal, then you're giving them time to score.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I'm curious, do you think adding another art form, it kind of combining, like, so you were doing the music and it's really hard to release music and I can't get my stuff out. Do you think adding the video aspect kind of helped dilute the fear a little bit? Like, they're either going to be mad about this or this, and it kind of helps you get your art out a little differently?
I think in some ways, but I think it's more just the fact that people can experience me as a person more, like, see my mannerisms and, like, yeah, the way, like, when you hear a song, like, the other thing about the Song of Days stuff was 90% of them or more, what you're seeing on camera is the take that is on the recording.
Yeah.
So you're seeing the nuances of, like, I might make a weird face when I say a certain word, or like I talk with my hands, obviously. And like those little nuances that you can now associate with the intention behind the music,
yeah,
that you don't get through just the music. Mm. I had a whole rant about how TikTok was changing the music industry and whatever, and I don't need to get into it, but I do think that the fact that the way that we consume media is entirely through the lens of TikTok, like, drastically changes the way that music is made and released. Obviously, we all know this.
Absolutely.
And I think that there are huge benefits, i.e., me, like, the reason I'm here, even mm-hmm. right now, is the internet. But I think that it can be a hindrance if an artist is not in the place where they can, you know, there's so many things to contest with.
Yeah.
And being on camera is hard. So, and you have to be a personality as well. And I don't mean to, like, a lot of people took my video about that as like an old man, like, jaded thing, and it's not. I mean, I still post on TikTok every day. I love, like, chaotic TikTok.
You clearly use the platform.
Yeah, but the reality is, this is, I mean, we all have to, yeah, we all have to shape around it. But then somebody else was bringing up a really good point, talking about MTV in the early 2000s. Artists were complaining about MTV because it was like, why do we have to make a music video? It can't just be about the music.
Yeah.
And that's totally right. I mean, this is me being like, why do we have to make a music video? But the escalation of, like, the amount of stuff you have to create,
0 to 100,
is definitely exhausting.
Yeah.
That's something that really does get to me, though, is, like, no matter how well one thing you do does on the internet, you are at zero again the next day.
100%.
So that is kind of depressing to me and kind of difficult to deal with when creating stuff, because then it's like, okay, what's the point? Like,
absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know.
It dilutes the feeling of joy that comes after.
Yeah.
But I want to push back a little, because I think that there's a dichotomy to it. I think I've met a lot of artists who don't like having their face on social media.
Yeah.
But then most of my favorite accounts that I follow, I have, you know, a good amount that I follow, how I found you, because I love seeing somebody play guitar and play drums and rap and do all these things in one, and like see somebody who loves this art form as a whole. To me, that's the greatest expression of being an artist, is I love this and I'm going to learn it all. I'm going to fucking, because that's hard as its own, but that's clear. That's clear in what you're doing, is you're not just fucking playing random notes on the bass and the guitar and the drums and shit. You know what you're doing. But a lot of my favorite accounts I follow are people who I've never seen their face, and I know their music and I know the visuals they put up. Somebody who maybe goes, maybe that extra step is going out into the world and taking video 3 days a week and having footage that you can cut up and put your music behind. Like, I think there are other ways to use the vehicle rather than just having your face be like the poster of it.
Yeah.
But I also do agree in the sense of it almost makes you skip the steps of feeling the magic. Mm-hmm. Because, and that's one of the most addicting parts of this industry, is like when you're in a session and you hear a song and you're like, God, I really know where I want this to go, but it's not there yet. And then 2 hours later, you're in a room with five people and you guys all look at each other like, holy shit, we just fucking did it.
Right.
I think that time that you get to enjoy that is dwindling because of social media, because,
yeah,
oh, you have a great song, it better be out tonight. Like, that's almost the way people look at it, is like, if it's great, it's not going to be great tomorrow, so you better show people now.
Yeah.
And I think that does kind of fuck up the point.
Yeah.
Which is the reason that we originally start doing it, which is for us, which is that feeling, it's the high. So I think, but I also think in a couple years from now, we're going to be remembering TikTok. We're not going to be even using it in the same way. Maybe we are, but it'll look different, just as it looked different 5 years ago.
Totally.
What do you think that's going to be? What is the, I mean, you're the king of AI over here. What's the next step?
Well, I think we're still going to be, stuck with TikTok for a while. I feel like, I think that as we have seen Mark Zuckerberg and Elon just fall flat on their faces, like trying to compete with TikTok.
Yeah.
I think that we've got several years until there is anywhere near a competitor to them. And I think that the way, like I was saying about the way that we consume media has so drastically changed culturally that there is basically no room for anything but TikTok, because that is the way that people want to.
Yeah, it is the zeitgeist now.
Yeah, exactly. And myself included, I am on there every day, not just as a person posting, but I am on there just mindlessly scrolling.
What does your feed look like?
My feed is a lot of music stuff, a lot of like extremely chaotic, like goofball shit, skits, comedians and stuff, and then a lot of like political stuff too.
Yeah mine just turns into like people getting beat up a little too often.
What?
Because I see a video and I'm like, what the fuck's happening? I click it and then 2 minutes later that's all I see, and I have to shut it off.
That's one thing. I'm very like militant about what I allow my algorithm to like get cues from. Like, there's stuff that even I would enjoy watching. Like, there's even like sometimes you know, like I'll occasionally want to watch like a Call of Duty clip or something.
Oh god.
Or like Fortnite.
They'll come get you.
Like, I love playing Fortnite. I literally play Fortnite like every day. but I cannot let the algorithm know that I want to see a Fortnite video, because then that's literally the only thing I'm going to see.
They hear you right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's listening. Yeah, get the fuck out of my brain. and same thing, like or like when I was like single, like you like look too long at like a hot girl's video.
Yeah.
Your entire feed is just like girls. Like, that is literally what it's going to be.
It'll come get you off of one thing too.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mine got really shitty. Like my Instagram and TikTok right now are just videos that do not help me at all. But for a while I was super militant about it. And I was like, I'm clicking on nothing but music gear, photography gear, and pictures of baby animals.
Yeah.
And I was like very serious about it.
Yeah.
And there was a good couple months of my life where every video I saw was like, oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
Look how cute this thing is. Look at this baby or whatever it is. And it's just like, I do think that dopamine hit is not a bad hit.
Yeah.
Like you can make it useful and healthy and helpful.
Totally.
But what I have right now is just
chaos.
It's awful.
Damn.
And it's so fun to watch and it sucks because I can't get it out of my head. But it's just like, it's crazy how life became more specific and mm-hmm. that's almost more dangerous. It's like seeing things that you want to see is not always the best thing to see.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, there was somebody talking today, actually, I was watching on TikTok, talking about the difference between the internet prior to TikTok was you were electing to see something.
Mm.
You would still have a feed, but it was your friends.
Yeah.
This is now almost nothing from your friends.
Yeah.
And then just things that are forced in front of you, which is individualized to you. Obviously, we all know what the fucking algorithm is. But that's now separating the experiences of everyone because it's so individual. Like,
yeah, the community aspect.
Yeah, like my brother and I always talk about like the early 2000s, like MTV, whatever, late 90s, early 2000s. That was fire because of the fact that back then everybody was like, oh, MTV, like fuck them, but whatever, corny. But the fact that because you would be exposed to everything and it was a limited pool of like, you're seeing, you know, the loop of like 20 music videos, people would be angry that it was only those 20 music videos, but that was a shared experience, and that also would lead to subcultures in response to that, as opposed to a million simultaneous subcultures, like all individually.
Yeah, and it gave room for like the subcultures to actually like, build an army.
Yeah,
and like and for you to have something to dive into that even if you maybe didn't fully love it or you didn't fully understand it, there's a community around you that at least you don't feel like the only person there.
Yeah.
When now you're right. It's like this, it's like the tailored experience is so specific to your person that you don't know if there's anybody else out there who feels the same way anymore.
Yeah.
And I guarantee that's part of the reason social media is like causing, like so many people are becoming depressed and stuff like that. It's not even just that you're comparing yourself to others. Mm-hmm. It's that you no longer feel like there's the people who are in the same group as you. You're on your own. You're lonely.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the same conversation about like MTV back then, there would be like, you know, message boards and stuff. Now there's like, you know, there's Reddit and stuff. And then there's like specific communities of like, oh, fans of whatever, Swifties or whatever the fuck, like people who have similar interests. But there's not like unified places for these like subculture groups to go.
Yeah.
Unless you're on Reddit, which is like what percentage of the population? It's not that big of a percentage of the population.
It's not as much of a fan base pool anymore.
Yeah, it's not like a mainstream thing that like all of the world is participating in.
That's where you go to like learn about the new OpenAI, whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's a different, but like Taylor Swift is a really good example because she's rebuilding that early 2000s feel of what it feels like to be in the music industry or to be a fan of the music industry. You go and you know that everybody who's surrounding you in any platform, if you're looking at Taylor Swift videos, everybody, all those comments are positive. It's like, like, oh my God, you like her too? Oh my God, you like her too? Like it's communal.
Yeah.
And even Drake, I feel like, does a sort of similar thing. Like it's these cult followings, but those are so few and far between now.
Yeah.
Because when you have millions and millions of tracks to choose from, and 90% of what you're listening to is a different artist every song from playlisting or whatever.
Yeah.
Then you don't have that experience of falling in love with a person in a community. You have the experience of falling in love with a playlist or a genre or a whatever it is. And it's just, it does feel more disconnected than it ever has. But it also forces artists to, you have to really want it now in a way that is different than ever before. And you always had to really want it. But now you have to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just different.
Yeah. And you, yeah, you have to share every piece of yourself, which is a huge criticism of you know, people being like, oh, TikTok sucks because now you gotta, you know, give up your whole life, share everything. I think ultimately that's a good thing. It's a freeing thing, but the amount that you have to document, I think, is exhausting.
Yeah.
But it's also allowing so many new audiences that you wouldn't be able to reach, I feel like.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now you can go, I mean, you probably have had people show up to your shows where you're like, what, you're a fucking fan? Like some old lady or whatever who shows up by herself just to sing the words to Mercury. Like, so I just had somebody on that said some old lady at her at a show in Ohio brought him a custom-made blanket. Like some, like, 70-something-year-old lady. And I'm like,
wow, I'm jealous.
That might not have happened before. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, now she probably sitting in her bed on TikTok the same way that we do. And,
yeah.
And now she's a fan of this person. And, like, I think with every technological innovation, there's going to be rejection, and there's also going to be the ability to grow from it. And it just kind of, you just kind of choose.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot. it's a lot. And I think it's really overwhelming as an artist to navigate all of that. Even like right now, as I'm in the middle of an EP rollout.
Yeah.
Shameless plug. Because I'm trying to balance all of these things and like make people care.
Yeah.
But it's a delicate thing where if you do one thing too much on social media, you are that thing.
Yes.
And if that thing isn't the thing you want to be known for, then it's like a slippery slope.
100%.
So yeah, this is, I'm just in the thick of it right now being like, how do I get people to care about this music? How do I get people to connect with it beyond? Because even so, like the Steal This Idea stuff, that's me as a musician. That's great. That's the most viral things that I have that have happened to me.
Totally.
Well, among the most. And that got through to people. Okay, this is a musician. Like, you see this guy, that guy makes music.
Yeah.
Great. That's awesome. But it wasn't my like songs. It wasn't like a song for me, for people to attach to.
Yeah, something that tells your story.
About. Yeah. So, and yeah, it wasn't anything about like me as a person or as an artist or whatever. Not that it has to be, but that created like a separation that I'm now trying to connect where like, okay, a lot of you guys have seen me on the internet. That's great. Thanks for watching.
Yeah.
I have this other thing. I have a project like that's, you know, you remember you saw me making music before? This is my actual music. Yeah. You want to check it out? Like I'm just trying to get people to care, and it's really hard, but I'm, you know, I'm having fun. But and ultimately, like I was saying earlier, all that I can control is I know how to make another video. I know how to make another song.
Yeah.
And the way that any of these things happen, any of these like internet moments that I've had, those have only happened through me just fucking around.
Yeah.
And doing my best and seeing what happens.
Man, that's why I'm such a big fan of podcasts. And I'm not even just saying that because I have one. Like I would love, if I could choose, then there'd be 100 new music podcasts that are my competition, if you will, right now. Because I think this is the best way. I think this is one of the last ways that you can get an artist and actually understand who they are as a person. Because 15 seconds on social media, that you can have a million of those clips, but it still might not tell the whole story of who the person is.
Yeah.
And I think that having a place like, so many other careers are really good about that already. They have a place. So many actors are on talking. So many comedians. I mean, that's huge in the comedy world. And
yeah.
And it's the reason that I think the cancel culture is kind of going away is because you can see these people and hear who they actually are.
Mm-hmm.
And they might make a shitty joke, but you also understand that 5 minutes ago they were super serious and talking about their family or whatever. And I think that just more people need the opportunity to speak, to talk exactly what they're thinking and like, without the purpose of it being viral or anything like that. Just the purpose of having people understand why you're here and why you give a shit about it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're doing it now. We're here doing it. So here, tell me about this EP release real quick.
The EP is called Suburbanite.
Oh, badass.
This is the first... I actually haven't said that on any other
other
press things that I
heard it here first, baby. Yeah.
And I have a song, or wait, do you know when this would drop?
Any Wednesday that you need. We'll make it work with whatever your schedule is that works for you.
Okay. October 25th, mm-hmm. my song called When I Say is coming out. Second single. First single is already out. It's called God is a Drunk.
It's so good.
Thank you. And that was, that was co-produced by Nate Fox, who produced like Chance the Rapper and all these people.
Oh, yeah.
And he also co-produced on this next single called When I Say that comes out October 25th. And the EP is 4 tracks, comes out November 17th.
And this is all stuff people haven't heard. This is not, there's no,
none of your old beats. There have been no teasers of any of these songs. Well, obviously the single came out.
Yeah.
But none of these are from the daily song process. None of these are from the Steal This Idea process.
Mm.
All stuff that no one's heard before. These are all, this was me really focusing down to, if I could only show 4 songs, what are the 4 songs that I'm going to start with that encapsulate myself as an artist, as a reintroduction almost, because I had been doing all of this maximalist, like, here's a million songs at a time. Here's like every single idea I have. Yeah. Like, let's go see what happens. Now this is me being like, okay, here's 4 very palatable, like, these are like the little like pieces of me,
yeah,
as opposed to just like throwing everything at the wall.
And what where's your head on that? Is it feel new or nerve-wracking that you're doing it without this like preconceived idea of what people should expect?
It definitely was, like, in making these and actually choosing which tracks it would be, I was definitely like, wow, this is really scary to have to really be more selective, because I was so used to just like, yeah, whatever. I felt like
throw the kitchen sink.
Then, like, Mercury, just like accidentally, I'm like, oh, wow, people really like that one. Great. Like, I didn't plan that. Like, all of that is great. But now it's like, okay, these 4 songs better be good. Like, it better be. So there's a little more pressure. And also, this was the first time I brought in outside investment. So that I can afford to do extra things in the rollout. And,
we expect to see some music videos and stuff like that?
Not music videos. I mean, yes, music videos, just because I do everything myself.
Yeah.
No, like, I'm not doing like a high budget music video, because like, I'm not going to waste my like investment budget on like a music video.
Those people were already trying to compete with what you were doing with a green screen in your bedroom.
Exactly. So it's really just allowing me to, I mean, it's definitely paying for content and stuff, paying for like really good photo shoots with like amazing photographers that I would never be able to afford otherwise, and paying for a publicist and stuff like that, like stuff that would be difficult for me to afford mm-hmm. otherwise.
And it's the next step.
Yeah, exactly. But that also, once again, is like, okay, now other people's money are on the line is on the line here.
Yeah.
These songs better be good, and it better translate. And all I can really do is like surrender to the process. We set it up. I made the music. Now I just have to like post on social media a lot, just like I already know how to do. I know how to make another video, and that's all I can do.
Well, it's almost like the hard work is done. Like you, like we were talking about earlier, the preparation and practice have already been done.
Yeah.
You've already put in the work. You've already made these pieces that clearly you're proud of and you feel are a really good description of who you are right now.
Mm-hmm.
And now the part of it that you have left to do is what you've done hundreds, if not thousands of times over and over pretty consistently too. Like now is the easy work. Now you just get to be excited and proud of what you've done and give as many people as possible the chance to have that same feeling.
Yeah. And also, I am mentally just excited to get it out and move on to the next thing. You know, I'm proud of this. I'm proud of these tracks, and I'm proud of the rollout that we're doing right now. But I'm also ready to move on to the next thing. I'm already working on the next project. Like, I'm excited about
that. There's no stopping you, man.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I would love to talk. I mean, obviously, we should just keep doing these. These are my favorite. But
yeah.
I'm excited to talk to you post EP release and see how you feel about it, where you're at, if you're even still thinking about it, if you just forgot and you're on to the next thing, because that's also part of this process. And that comes and goes as it should.
Yeah, I think I'm very much a person who is like, song's out, I forgot about it. Like, I'll still do posts of, I'll repost song, I'll do new videos with existing songs and whatever that people like. But for me, once it's out, I'm really like, no, I'm not attached to it anymore.
Yeah.
Which, that's something that I'm very grateful for. Like, I am an overthinker up until the point that it's like, once it's been released, that's out of my hands. I don't have to stress it anymore.
That's talent right there. I mean, it's a muscle, I guess you have to say. That's something that you got to work out. Because I struggle with that big time. With the podcast, I've gotten very, very good at the second that I press upload, I can go fucking do anything I want the rest of the day and I will not think about it. Not once.
Yeah.
But that moment up to there is just fucking palms are sweaty.
Yeah.
But man, I'm excited. I can't wait to hear everything. Hopefully you can show me a little something once these turn off.
Oh, yeah. I got you. Yeah, let's get it.
And yeah, everybody, I guess at this point, depending on when this comes out, you are almost about to hear your favorite records you ever heard. I hope you're ready for
that's
that.
That's exactly what it's going to be.
Go make it an experience, everybody. You have his TikTok videos. Go fucking drive through the mountains and listen to this. Go party with your friends. Go experience the music.
Yes. And I will say, so the first song, the God is a Drunk song, the first single, you know, that's like some poppy vibes, whatever. Basically, the rest of the tracks are like party music. Like,
fuck yeah.
Yeah, like shit that you can turn on at a party. So I'm excited.
Man, I'm ready for it. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Coming by, this is always a fucking blast.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Hell yeah.
Always. Everybody, go stream up his music. Go check out his TikTok. If you're not following him, what the fuck are you doing?
What are you doing?
You know the man. You know what he is. And if you haven't heard the first episode, go listen, because it's a really good pre-release. I don't even know what the fuck to call it.
Yeah, little...
It's him before.
Background, yeah. Yeah, the prequel.
And you get to find out where he got that necklace, too. Bet you want to know.
Did I say that in the first one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah.
But they'll have to go find it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, dude. Yeah, I appreciate you. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. I love you all very, very much. And to everybody out there...
I'm Connor Massara, and this is an experiment.
Yeah, it is. Love you guys. Goodbye.
The experience is the experiment.